This is Hidden Mysteries Radio, discussing the topics no one else dares to. Welcome back, everybody. This is Hidden Mysteries Radio. I'm Asmodor. Ghost is with us, as always.
I'm here.
We've got a pretty serious subject this week. We're talking about South Africa, so let's get right to it. We're going to start off, for a little background, I'm going to read an article that I wrote back on October 10th, 2014. The title is, "The South African Genocide is Entering Its Final Phase." Something must be done about the worst genocide in living memory. Make no mistake, what has been going on in South Africa since the end of apartheid is one of the worst human tragedies in recent history, and there's no denying that what is happening is white genocide. According to the Afrikaner Genocide Museum, the white Boer, the Afrikaner, is easily the highest at-risk group for murder on Earth, 310 in 100,000 per year, actually. By comparison, in London, the yearly probability of getting murdered is 3 in 100,000. These are good people, sturdy, hardworking, and moral. It is a crime against humanity that the United States does not offer refugee status to every one of them. Today in South Africa, the whites have long been identified as the enemy. Preparations are nearly complete for the savage black supremacist communists to begin their final solution to the, quote, problem of white South Africans. All that is left now is to finish them off. Then these subhuman, murderous animals can spend the rest of their lives denying that this genocide ever occurred, with the willing help of the Zionist media who engineered this crisis from the get-go. If you think this is an isolated problem, you are wrong. South Africa is the bursting head of the global pustule known as international communism. In the West, especially in the USA and the UK, these same seeds of destruction have been sown and are now sprouting. It is past time for whites to grow up, man up, and face the howling mass of chaos that has descended upon us. Our very survival is at stake. The health and future security of our offspring and their descendants is in our hands. Think on this. If the trend continues unabated, and in another generation our countries find themselves in the dire straits that the white South Africans now find themselves in, how will you answer your grandchildren when they ask, "Why did you never speak up?" Will you answer, "Well, American Idol or football was on, and besides, I was afraid." Well, Ghost, I know you likely don't agree with everything in that article, but let's start off with your thoughts on the subject.
Well, I know there's a white genocide going on from a friend I've got down in South Africa. His name is John Lampert. We will talk about it probably more later, because he and I have discussed this over the telephone before, and the man is a scholar. He knows what's going on. He depends on facts. He doesn't believe. Depend on emotion. He wrote a book that's probably 600 pages on the hollow earth and all the scientific evidence is toward proving that there is a hollow earth that happens naturally in every planet. And then he's moved over into this when he does his political evaluation, does the same thing. It's all documented, it's all based on historical evidences. And if he says it's going on over there, who am I to doubt what he says? He's on the ground, living in South Africa. He says it's been going on. It's been going on at least since 2002, but he wrote a book about it. And I have not much argument on the fact that something is going on down there that we're not being told in the Western world.
Well, you know, while you brought him up, this Jan Lamprecht, is that how you say it?
Jan, yes.
He wrote a book that you sell called Government by Deception, Psychopolitics in Southern Africa, And it doesn't focus exclusively on South Africa. It focuses on, you know, basically all the countries in sub-Saharan Africa. I haven't read it, but I read the foreword and I leafed through the book before the show. And he focuses heavily on the role of international communism, specifically the Soviets, and their role in it. But I want to go back a little further than that. A lot of the trouble going on in South Africa started a long time before there was a Soviet Union. You know, they had the Boer War just before the end of the 19th century with Great Britain. And the reason for that entire war was because Rothschild owned the rights to all the gold mines, and, you know, some other cronies of his in banking owned the silver, and another one owned the base metals and so forth.
Don't forget the diamonds.
And the diamonds, the De Beers and all that, yeah. But
this whole scenario is set up to rape the southern tip of Africa of all the resources.
Well, yeah, when you look at, to speak bluntly, South Africa is the perfect example of what happens when a particular group of people creates something fabulous, something fabulously wealthy, beautiful, whatever, and do it on nothing but the hard work of their hands and their minds. One of the things that always must be watched out for, and has happened here, and it's not nearly the first time it's happened. It's happened dozens and dozens of times all over the world. The first thing that comes creeping along is international Jewry or international Zionism, whatever you want to call it, to come and stir up chaos and division so that they can profit off of it as a parasite. And, you know, you pull it forward a little bit, and that's exactly what's going on here. I was coming of age when the international Zionist media started all this raising hell about apartheid and how terrible it was and how poorly done the black South Africans were. And they always had this big narrative going that, you know, the country belonged to these poor blacks in South Africa and all that. And what they never mentioned is that for, you know, decades by that time, that this ANC and these other parties that are discussed in the book Government by Deception, these were communist parties that were established and run by Jews that were doing everything they could to import as many aliens from other African countries into South Africa to build the thing up to a head. And then you had the international media, you know, pretty much portraying the white South African like some bloodthirsty Dr. Mengele. And they never mentioned things like that the black South Africans, had their average income was 8 times higher than for blacks anywhere else in sub-Saharan Africa, that they had good health care, that they, you know, they had a good country that they lived in. They also don't mention that there was no country there before these white South Africans built it. And, you know, you can look, and I'll probably post some, you can look at pictures of, say, downtown Johannesburg or Cape Town during apartheid and after apartheid, and from where I'm sitting, black or white, I would prefer to live under the apartheid government.
You also, like I said, Jan Lompert takes a look at what you're talking about was the whole southern tip of South Africa, but he's taking a particular view of Mugabe,
yeah,
and Zimbabwe's history. He says what's going on there is just a predecessor of what's going to happen in South Africa. He's like you. He does think that the white generation of British that came down there and colonized and civilized that area should remain basically in control of the area, but not excluding blacks from their, if they're intelligent enough and learned enough to handle the jobs.
Yeah.
He's not again, you know, the whole thing has gone to where it's handed over to illiterate, and it doesn't matter what color you are, but these are blacks. We got our own illiterates in the U.S. running Congress, but these illiterates are running the show over there under the qualification of being an ANC Well, ANC is promoting the illiterates, and they're the ones that imported all the Somalians and Northern Africans into South Africa to cause all this trouble.
Yeah, now I don't want to just blow by that either, because
We got a lot of illiterates in Congress.
But here's the thing. I mean, let's be 100% real about this. The average IQ of a sub-Saharan African black hovers around 70. Now that is basically mentally retarded. It's very similar. Having them run things is very similar to the situation that we had during Reconstruction in the South when they put them in charge of our government. This is always done when the communists are pulling the strings. And yes, the Yankee government was communist. They just didn't have the word yet. But they will put incompetence in charge of the government to create more trouble for the population that they're subjecting. But let's talk about Zimbabwe for a second. Before Zimbabwe was Zimbabwe, when it was Rhodesia, it was the breadbasket of the world. The farmers there were the envy of farmers the world over.
The white farmer there produces more for that area of South Africa than anywhere.
They have to stand out by their fence and defend their homes from invading blacks.
Some of them do, yes.
Not some of them, the ones who are left. If you think that murder rate that I quoted for South Africa is high, you should see what the murder rate for Boer farmers is now. It is unbelievable. It's an absolute genocide going on. And not only that,
country. I'm thinking about Zimbabwe.
I'm talking about Zimbabwe. Not only that, what's the name of the guy in Zimbabwe?
It was Mugabe. I don't know.
Mugabe. He's still there. Mugabe is openly just taking farms from whites and handing them over to blacks, and they don't, and nothing works right. And now I have several.
We've been doing that for 30 years, and no one's put a stop to it.
Right. But there's, no one will, because it's white people that he's doing it to. Now, the South African situation, like you said, this guy in 2002 said that it was going to get to South Africa. Well, it's already gotten there. I have friends in South Africa. These are Twitter friends, and I'll post some of their Twitter handles in the article here so that people who are interested can follow them and find out more about South Africa. They have handed all of their utilities over to the blacks there, and nothing works now. They have daily what they call load shedding, where say you live in Cape Town, you have to go to the City of Cape Town website and find out when it's okay to turn the lights on during the day. And their power just goes off every day. And they're having trouble with everything. There's not one aspect of government or society there that is not completely ruined by having everything turned over to these low IQ incompetence. And
that does sound like what we were talking about earlier about Russia.
Yeah.
In the same period of time.
Sure. Well, but, I want to bring up another point here. Were you aware that despite the fact that the genocide is being carried out, we're talking about the physical on the streets violence and the rapes, is being carried out by blacks against whites, and yet the United States and basically every government in the West will grant refugee status to any black from there, but they won't grant it to whites. That is official in ink government policy. White South Afrikaners are stuck where they are.
Well, my question immediately was, why would the U.S. be responsible? Why isn't the U.K. handling their own problem?
Well, I don't know, but I have said in other articles that if I had my way,
the UK created the problem down there to begin with.
Well, that's true. Well,
at the same time, they advanced civilization down there.
Yeah, they certainly did.
But they also created the problem that would exist down there.
Well, but in South Africa, they speak English and Afrikaans, and I'll admit that I really should know more about this, but I think it's more of a Dutch culture than it is an English culture, wouldn't you say? I mean, the English never really went in there and I don't know.
The Queen's ugly mug is on their money.
Well, okay. Well, hopefully some of our listeners that are in South Africa will go into the comment section and maybe straighten us out on that. But but I do know that, you know, that there's no way that we can comprehend the fear that the South African whites are living in every day, and they have every reason to. If you sit and watch my Twitter feed, and I don't follow that many people from South Africa, it's just all day long, they'll post from their newsfeed, another farmer's wife has been raped and murdered, another home invasion and the family butchered, another hijacking right in front of the a gated community that some people are trying to get into, everybody killed, car stolen.
Farmers and stuff seeking asylum?
Do what?
Are these white farmers seeking asylum?
They're denied. They're not allowed.
Because it'd be hard for them to have to leave everything they've built over there their lifetime.
There are tons of them that want to leave because they realize that it doesn't matter what they have over there. They're all about to be dead.
So where is Margaret Thatcher's theory of greed that accepts them back into London?
I don't know. Where is this United States charity that takes all these low IQ morons from south of our border and from Africa and the Middle East and all? Why aren't we? I mean, it's not like there's that many of them. South Africa, one of their big problems is South Africa is only 9% white. And so,
major problem.
Yeah, so those people are in trouble, and they need to be brought over here. If I had my way, every one of them, except for the I don't count Jews as white, but the Jews who are over there that are members of the ANC and all that, no, they can stay and let their pets eat them. But the white South Africans, if I had my way, every one of them could come right here to Texas because I meant what I said. From everything I've ever seen, those are really good.
Well, not hard, I don't feel they should be allowed over here. I just want to know why the United Kingdom is not taking care of their own.
Well, because the United Kingdom is a piece of shit.
Well, we know that, but I was wanting you to say
the United Kingdom.
I wanted you to say the Rothschilds that run the city of London don't want them there.
Well, of course they don't, but you know.
Which I gave you the opening and you missed it, Mr.
Right, right. Well, it's always Rothschild, but you know, the UK is.
It's not always Rothschild, it's De Beers and the rest of it.
Right, but the UK is such a piece of shit that they allow their own native white English citizens to be gang raped and groomed by Muslims and cover it up and threaten to imprison people that report it because they don't want to lose the Muslim votes. They did it. They covered Rotherham, England. Anybody out there, just Google Rotherham. I'm sure if you read the news at all, I'm sure you heard about it. It's a huge
The great
scandal.
Things are going. You're going to see another pogrom against Jews and Muslims from England.
Yeah.
And that happened once before in history.
Well, a lot of people think that I'm crazy when I say this, but the way things are going, you're going to see the first one in the United States, in North America, before anybody knows it.
The same setup is going on over here. It's just a little slower action. We have our own ANC party here.
Yeah.
It's called the Republicans.
And the Democrats.
No, the ANC party was the Republicans that started all this Isboro about freeing the poor black slave.
Yeah.
He turned them into, immediately they run in there. Freedom all. None of them had a job. None of them had any property. None of them had anything.
None of them were even
all
literate.
Of a sudden, you created an entire nation of black, poverty, homeless people. Well, now, how smart is that?
Well, it's brilliant because the
brilliant. Yes, it is for the ANC Republicans.
Well, right, because what they were doing was really sticking it to the South.
Yeah, they were wanting to stick it to the white Southern plantations.
And the place that they gave it hardest to was Texas. Because they were butthurt that they were never able to set foot in Texas.
They were never able to because we kicked their butts every time we tried.
That's right.
Sent them back crying with their little limp dickies in their hands.
Yeah, well, but back to South Africa. If you read the post that I read at the beginning.
South Africans remind me much of the early Texans.
Well, yeah, it reminds me of dozens of things. This is the same old thing that happens when you get international Zionists and international banking and all these other interests involved in a place. Like I said,
the World Bank has made its target South Africa. They want the resources, they want the gold, they want the diamonds, And they want it out of the, actually, they're going to take it away from the individuals that are in there, and the World Bank is going to take control of every bit of it.
Well, but apparently they see their biggest impediment as being the white people there.
They don't care what they have to do to make it happen. They just want blood in the streets. That makes it happen.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah. They
chaos.
They profit from chaos. You know, the Mandela, the terrorist who was turned into a saint by the media.
So was Bibi Netanyahu.
Right, exactly. But there are pictures of plenty.
So was Abraham Lincoln.
There are pictures of plenty of him standing by Joe Slovo, the Jewish head of the ANC, on a stage in front of the international communist flag, you know, the red flag with the hammer and sickle, holding up their hands in the communist salute, singing, "Kill the Boer, kill the white farmer."
Well, Abraham Lincoln was there with them.
In spirit, yes. But anyway, that brings us to our first break, and we'll talk some more about this when we get back.
Just keeping it Texas on RFT. Just keeping it Texas the way it ought to be. As Texas as chili and barbecue. Keeping it real for me and you. Just keeping it Texas on RFT. Radio Free Texas. Where you want to be. RadioFreeTexas.org, bringing Texas to the world.
You're listening to HMR, Hidden Mysteries Radio, HiddenMysteriesRadio.com.
You've known from early on that being a Texan means something special. You probably even learned when you were in school that Texas had the right to make its own choices. Now, the time has come. The time to make a decision for Texas. With an oppressive federal government passing legislation for climate control, health care, bailing out banks and automakers with trillions of your tax dollars, and failing to secure our border with Mexico, it's time for Texans to take a stand. Even Texas Governor Rick Perry had this to say about the current state of affairs.
We think it's time to draw the line in the sand and tell Washington that no longer are we going to accept their oppressive hand in the state of Texas. There is a point in time where you stand up and say, enough is enough.
What do you want for the future of Texas? It's time to make a stand. Enough is enough. TexasNationalist.com.
And we're back. And I want everybody to make sure and go check out the Texas Nationalist Movement at TexNat, T-E-X-N-A-T, .org. And Radio Free Texas, what's their URL, Ghost?
It's RadioFreeTexas.org.
There you go.
The best country music in the world.
Well, you know, if you're not checking out stuff that's from Texas, whatever you're listening to is second rate. It's second rate.
It's lame.
Yep. All right.
Have your rap. We'll have Texas.
Yep, yep. We're getting back to the South African discussion here. I've got an article from what I believe is the leading alternative news site coming out of South Africa. It's Prague, PRAAG.org. I encourage everyone to go check it out. It is in English. This is an article that was published by Dan Root on September 5th, 2014. Europe created the Afrikaner problem in South Africa. A recent statement by the F.W. de Klerk Foundation in Cape Town, after the Constitutional Court's finding in the Renate Bernard, however you pronounce that, affirmative action case, said that, quote, the judgment is, in effect, a prescription for and validation of harmful discrimination against millions of South African citizens for an indefinite period on no basis other than their race and with no reference to their individual merits, circumstances, or concerns. Legalized positive discrimination against South African whites is now a fact of life, as is the growing racial nationalism of the country's blacks. Africa for the Africans is the underlying slogan in South Africa, by which we must understand African in a racial sense. Many of South Africa's radicalized black intellectuals and celebrities affirm that every African has the right to cross the border and settle in South Africa, but that whites belong to Europe. In essence, what black racial nationalists assert is that Afrikaners have not naturalized after 360 years in the country. This might have been dismissed as simple talk by blacks if it were not supported by the courts and the political system in South Africa, which effectively exclude the Afrikaner minority of all political power and influence. Outside the Western Cape, there is not even a single municipality where Afrikaners have any say in how their taxes are spent, let alone a province or the central government. Objectively speaking, Afrikaners have been disarmed, disenfranchised, culturally marginalized, and now find themselves in the position summed up by the Canadian political scientist Herbert Adam as internal diaspora in South Africa. Being an internal diaspora is but a few nuances removed from having the status of internal refugees. Since 1994, criminal, political, and social violence has been constantly rising in South Africa, and Afrikaners have been victims of so-called farm murders and attacks during which they are tortured and executed in dehumanizing ways reminiscent of ethnic war and ethnic cleansing. In the cities, too, house robberies and interracial attacks are rising. Together with legislation all but prohibiting them from holding state and corporate jobs, it is clear that the only rational choice for Afrikaners is to leave, as many have already done, immigrating to Australia, New Zealand, and other countries in the British Commonwealth. With the benefit of hindsight, both South Africa and the ex-Rhodesia were deliberately brought under control of radical black nationalist movements that saw no long-term future for whites in southern Africa, notwithstanding the posturing of Nelson Mandela before the world media, which was simply meant to ensure a smooth transfer of military and police power to the ANC and the South African Communist Party. Over the past decade or two, we have seen many countries destabilized by the Western drive for democracy, which is usually an ill-concealed strategy to strip the target countries of their mineral wealth and other assets.
I knew that World Bank would get back in there.
Yeah, in that respect, South Africa is no different to Afghanistan, Iraq, Libya, Pakistan, Somalia, and Yemen.
We brought them democracy.
Yep, where the USA is currently fighting wars. America also has military deployed in other states, including Algeria, Bahrain, Djibouti, Egypt, Israel, Jordan, Kuwait, Lebanon, Morocco, Oman, Pakistan, Qatar, Saudi Arabia, Tunisia, and the United Arab Emirates. While Europe normally pays obeisance to the USA in its global strategy and foreign adventures, lately also seen in Ukraine, where Russian commentators have accused the EU of being a lapdog of the USA, the old continent carries a heavy responsibility for the destabilization of southern Africa. Instead of finding a compromise between the various peoples and interest groups in this part of the world, European states have consistently supported the most radical, anti-white, quasi-Marxist revolutionary groups. The rise of Malema and the economic freedom fighters in South Africa portend exactly the same future for South Africa as the present Zimbabwe, with the confiscation of white-owned farms, urban property, and other assets. As in Gabriel Garcia Marquez's famous novel, Chronicle of Death Foretold, we know exactly what the outcome is going to be. The ethnic cleansing of Afrikaners from South Africa, with or without even more violence than we are experiencing at present from the marauding, anomic killers that prosper under the ANC government's policy of laissez-faire and a gradual descent into general lawlessness. At least five European states may be held accountable for Afrikaners becoming a stateless people. Sweden, Norway, the Netherlands, East Germany, and our former colonial power, the United Kingdom. They financed and supported, also through propaganda and diplomatic means, the African National Congress and South African Communist Party, knowing full well that these were radical, revolutionary movements that would ultimately chase the whites into the sea, as had occurred in several other African states, notably the Belgian Congo, currently the DRC, Algeria, and the Portuguese colonies such as Mozambique and Angola. It is telling that, after finally seeing the writing on the wall, albeit 20 years too late, the F.W. de Klerk Foundation has just launched an appeal to the international community in trying to stem the devastating effects of permanent affirmative action upon a politically powerless minority. According to the F.W. de Klerk Foundation, quote, "We must make it clear that we are not prepared to accept a status as second-class citizens." Clearly, de Klerk merely followed European and particularly British dictates 20 years ago in the optimistic belief that there would be some kind of Western or European veto in the future if things had to go wrong. However, with so many countries being destabilized by American wars, the international community would simply regard South Africa as yet another casualty of internal divisions without acknowledging the key role played by Europe in setting what used to be an organized Western-style industrial state on the road to radicalism, revolution, and ethnic cleansing. There's an expression in Afrikaans, and forgive my pronunciation, Gedane Sake Het Gin Kier, something like that, which is more or less equivalent to the English, no use crying over spilt milk. Afrikaners will never rule South Africa again, and the country is living through a miniature decline of the West, with long-forgotten African beliefs and superstitions displacing Christianity and even the secular, scientific thought of the European Enlightenment. Mbeki's so-called AIDS denialism was but one highly publicized challenge to science, which is also taking place in many other fields. South Africa, like Zimbabwe, has been broken and it will never be fixed unless there takes place such a vast conceptual revolution in the world which makes possible another basis for political power besides sheer numbers and demography. But there are very few signs of such a development. In truth, no one cares about the fact that Zimbabwe has gone from breadbasket to basket case, and neither does anyone care that South Africa is slouching towards the same fate. The only question that remains is, what is to become of the Afrikaner people? We started life out here in this colony almost four centuries ago as either refugees from Catholic France or as indentured employees of the Dutch East India Company. Today, and once more, we have become, at best, a stateless people or minority at risk, holding South African passports but without any say in government, in our schools, universities, municipalities, or other institutions from which we are being increasingly displaced. Everywhere, we are subjected to rapidly intensifying racial quota systems, and our children hardly have the right to study, let alone to find work within the state or corporate sector. At worst, we are already internal refugees, and unlike the Portuguese of Angola or Mozambique, or even the white Rhodesians, we do not have the luxury of holding European passports. In a certain sense, having destroyed or at least destabilized our Heimat, Europe does not want us back. The behavior of Europe could perhaps be compared to that of a man burning down his brother's house and then refusing him shelter afterwards. Being the victims of European and American geopolitical scheming and social engineering, we do not have any form of recourse as to the consequences of their destructive designs. It was also cleverly done by means of indigenous proxies or exiled ones. So it is going to be difficult to prove European mischief in destabilizing South Africa. Even though we speak a variant of 17th century Dutch and Low German, that former lingua franca of Northern Europe from 1300 to 1600 when the Hanseatic League held sway, we have long since ceased to think of ourselves as Europeans. We named the standardized form of our language Afrikaans in honor of our adopted continent, that same continent which is now rejecting us in the name of the slogan Africa for the Africans, understood in a racial and cultural sense. The paradox is that the anglicized or Americanized African, speaking English, but racially African, is able to stigmatize the white Afrikaner as a foreigner, an interloper, despite the fact that our cultural roots in this place are deeper and more ancient than his. However, Europe too, although it does not seem to accept the principle of Europe for the Europeans, also enthusiastically supports the notion of Africa for the Africans. Most European companies apply discrimination against indigenous whites with alacrity, as it is the law of the land. Given the continuing African population explosion, with the continent's population set to rise to 2.5 billion in the next 30 years, the demographic pressure on us is going to be relentless, added to all the other pressures such as the violence and institutionalized discrimination. What kind of racial quota do you get by the time that you constitute only 1 or 2% of the population? A percent or nothing? During the call for sanctions against South Africa during the 1980s, Mrs. Margaret Thatcher opposed it on the basis that up to 1 million whites from here had British passports and could therefore swell the ranks of British unemployed. Presumably, the same 1 million whites of British descent could still return to the United Kingdom like the Portuguese from Africa did or the French Pieds Noirs from Algeria. But what about us, descendants of the French Huguenots, the Dutch, the Flemish, and Northern Germans, whose forgotten trading language from centuries gone by we still speak, write, and school our children in? If all else goes wrong, as increasingly seems likely, do we not have the same right of return as the British, the Portuguese, the Pieds Noirs, or the Belgians, even though we are technically non-Europeans? Will Europe, as it welcomes Syrian, Iraqi, Afghan, and other refugees from destabilized countries where the Anglo-Saxon oil wars have played themselves out, reject us, despite being its own flesh and blood? Not only that, but we are truly the victims of the European political junkyard dumped on South Africa with its Swedish theory of the melting pot, of multiculturalism, of communism, of white guilt, and the rest. In more senses than one, Afrikaners are a problem of Europe's making. Kind of grim, isn't it, Ghost?
That's a grim outlook, yes. I'm glad you got it down to explain that Afrikaners are the white South Africans you're talking about.
Yep.
It's a scenario that's going to play out the world around if they don't put us a halt to it early.
Well, it's playing out here already. We
started in 1861.
Well, yeah, but right now we're kind of in the place where they were, you know, 20, 25 years ago.
They just got their Jim Crow laws installed there.
Yeah, as of the last census, the United States, for the first time ever, white children, new births of white children, are the minority. They were outnumbered by non-whites. And with their immigration policy continuing, that's going to get worse more rapidly. And there's nothing we can do about it. Our next president in Congress is going to be composed of either Republicans or Democrats. And no matter what they tell you, they're on the same team with this crap.
Well, Pat Robertson had the right idea.
What's that?
Nuke Soggy Bottom.
Well, but the other thing is, the affirmative action programs that he's talking about have been in place here since the 70s. Not just affirmative action programs, but racial quotas for schools and a myriad.
It's past time to start phasing them out.
Absolutely. They never should have happened in the first place.
Well, not all of them. Well, some of them should probably, but the fact is, they've either done what they're going to do or they're not working.
Well, they're not working. They never did anything.
You know, I always oppose school busing because they're trying to correct the attitude of adults by forcing the children to suffer.
That's assuming there was something wrong with the attitude of the adults in the first place. The
adults, black or white, I'm talking about.
Right. But I'm saying
the problem on the children.
Right. Well, it's international communism, pure and simple. You can go look to the Frankfurt School.
We call it republicanism here.
Yeah, well,
Did they not write that civil rights bill?
They were critical to passing it. You're asking my mind's drawing a blank right now as to who
they
wrote it.
Wrote it.
Yeah,
it got passed under Johnson, but it was a Republican bill.
Yeah. Well, that's the way everything bad always goes, just like Obama's executive amnesty.
They leave the Democrats to do their dirty work.
Yeah, you got Obama writing an amnesty that the Republicans raise hell that he can't do it, and 3 days later they fund the damn thing.
The Republicans wrote it under Reagan.
Yeah, sure. But to get back to South Africa, you know, the one thing that I really think is so important to stress to people here, and we've touched on it several times already, what we're seeing happening over there is the result of things that are happening here now. And to the people out there who agree with me, but you're afraid to speak about it, I don't have words to describe how low I think you are, how cowardly I think you are. You're worried that somebody's going to call you an asshole or say that you're rude or mean or something, and so you'll shut your mouth knowing that your grandchildren and their grandchildren are going to live in a hellish nightmare if things keep going the way they are. But, you know, you got beer, you got football, you got a roof over your head that you're paying huge interest on the mortgage for. You've got a big screen TV to watch the football and the American Idol, and you know your credit cards are all maxed out and everything. Hell, you're living the American dream. The American dream is dead. It's a nightmare. And look at South Africa. That's what's coming. We practically have it already. What do you think, Ghost?
Rosie Riveter killed the dream.
Well, expand on that.
Well, that was the first token of socialism. You know, I agree with a lot of socialist tactics, not the socialist program, but it was the socialism or the communism aspect of bringing Rosie the Riveter in to fill men's shoes that started this whole evolution toward dehumanizing the American family and the American family unit.
Oh yeah, Rosie
and the single income breadwinner.
Rosie never went home.
She's still riveting.
Yeah, well, and that's a whole other show. But yeah, all these things. If you look into what they call cultural Marxism, that's really the tip of the blade in international communism now, is the cultural aspects of it. You know, it's the victory through chaos type thing. They tear down every institution, every belief, and they mix the races up.
I will take,
create chaos.
Well, you were talking about earlier. I mean, I will take offense to anybody that says I'm a racist, because I adore and I study and I agree with and I know like the back of my hand our white brethren that brought Texas into being as a nation. Now, that doesn't say that there weren't blacks there that helped. There were. And I would hope my black brothers would adore and appreciate what the effort that man did, the one I know about. There's actually two. But that doesn't mean I'm against them. It means I appreciate what my forefathers did. I would hope they appreciate what their forefathers did without the race war. What's the big deal?
Well, I don't think you're going to see your hopes come to fruition.
Yeah, we will. We're going to see Texas pull out of this mess.
Well, let's hope so, but race war is coming, in my opinion, and it's going to flop right out on us faster than any of us know. It'll probably even surprise me when it happens. I think it's gone beyond the point of trying to fix it. And the other thing is, it's never been fixed to start with.
What you're saying is perfectly true for South Africa at this moment, day and time.
Yeah. And that's what's coming here.
There's no way to fix what's going on.
I know you...
And the UK needs to let them back home.
Yep. Well, they're not going to. And
well, if they convert to Islam, they will.
Well, if anybody should let them come, the United States should let them come. Because look at all the people we're taking. And
well,
these
I
people...
agree, but we shouldn't be taking all these other people. But we're not... Why should we... We're not... What you call, we're not obligated socially or historically responsible for what they did, what caused their problems.
No, but just because we're not, we need these
people. We were against the apartheid thing for a long time.
I was never against it.
I mean,
we
were against the apartheid movement.
Right. The anti-apartheid movement?
Our legislators just refused to deal with it.
Yeah.
We're not going to hear it.
Yeah. Well, I always supported it because even as a teenager, when it started coming down, I knew exactly what was going
to
happen.
It's hard to get your mind to wrap around support and disapport apartheid.
Well,
basically, you're against apartheid, but you were for the apartheid movement idea.
I was for the apartheid government in South Africa and against it being taken down because I knew what would happen to those people.
Apartheid is a made-up name. Didn't exist before these, like you called them, Jewish interlopers stepped into the ANC and gave it a name.
Yeah. But one of the reasons
it was just another race war.
One of the reasons I say we should bring them here is because we need them here. I mean, they're
Texas. I agree.
They're hardworking people. They're well educated.
I don't want them in New Jersey getting perverted.
No, I don't either. But and they're white, and we are importing virtually 100% uneducated, unskilled, low IQ non-whites into this country. And why can't we bring some Afrikaners over here? They would actually be a benefit to us.
Mr. Loppert is a computer consultant.
Yeah. I mean,
he's a genius.
Yeah, you look at that. Let me bring up some stats here. go ahead with what you were saying.
The party's in charge of this country, you're going to see nothing but the lower IQ come to the forefront.
Well, yeah, because
that's all they can bring forth.
Well, I
mean, they brought forth Ted Cruz. Oh boy, what
yeah.
A genius.
Well, look who the Democrats
are
bringing
forth.
About
the Democrats, they've fallen on their own petard. They're never going to make anything of themselves again.
Well, who knows?
They have sold out their own people, and the people know it.
Okay,
they went to the Republican Party only to find out they're lied to.
Yeah. Well, listen to this. Here's the people we're bringing in. Here are 10 illegal alien facts.
By Ted Cruz?
No. By Numbers USA.
Ted Cruz is part of those numbers?
Nope. They're nonpartisan. They're a good organization.
Ted Cruz is not partisan.
Well, anyway.
He is a illegal wetback.
Well, yeah. He's a Cuban Marano, I bet. Anyway.
I'm eating Canadians down here.
Number one, more than 43%. Of all food stamps are given to illegals. 96% of warrants for murder in Los Angeles are for illegals. Less than 2% of illegals are picking crops, but 41% are on welfare. More than 66% of all births in California are to illegals on Medi-Cal paid by the U.S. taxpayer. Nearly 60% of all occupants of HUD properties in the U.S. are illegals. More than 39% of California students grades 1 to 12 are illegals. 75% of LA's most wanted are illegals. More than half of all gang members are illegals. U.S. companies using illegals in 2005 profited over $2.36 trillion.
In illegal profits.
U.S. taxpayers are footing the bill for all illegals. Now,
well, if we can support Israel, which is a whole country full of illegals, then we might as well support them over here, huh?
Well, we shouldn't be doing either.
Oh, I agree.
But my point here is we've got all these illegals, and these aren't even the numbers on the legals that are coming up here. For
nobody said a thing about Bibi Netanyahu showing up here that illegal.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But, you know, the...
No bigger welfare queen than he is.
I believe it was the director of ICE admitted... Thursday or Friday to the Senate that all these the alleged children that came across in the border surge that didn't have any family, now they've got all his family, so they're flying them all up here on commercial planes. He admitted that every one of them, when they get here, are eligible for all welfare benefits. And another shocking number,
here's a curious question why you said that.
Yeah.
Why is Congress just now figuring out the laws they wrote work this way?
Well,
they had to go ask somebody that worked for them.
Well,
what the law was
they
wrote.
They knew what the law was. This was Senator, I believe it was Senator Sessions, Jeff Sessions, that got him to admit that because he wanted it brought out and reported on TV.
All he had to do is read the law.
Well, yeah, but Sessions knew. Trust me, Sessions is the best guy we've got on immigration
at the moment.
Yeah, at the moment. But anyway,
I don't trust him a whole lot. He carries that big R, that big swastika R on him.
Well, you can't exactly. I mean, Ron Paul carried that too.
Shame on him.
Well, I saw the. Okay, here it is.
I got you stuttering.
Memo.
I did my job.
Memo. No, well, I was looking for this article. Memo, 353,000 refugees on food stamps. That's more than 75% of them. This is from Breitbart. More than 350,000 refugees in the United States are on food stamps, according to the Congressional Research Service.
Okay, they start with RE. Republicans start with RE. Make the connection. There are Republicans now.
Right.
On welfare.
In a memo to the Senate Judiciary Committee released Thursday but dated April 14th, CRS offers data on Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, SNAP, or food stamps, and Supplemental Security Income, SSI, use among refugees. It also provided refugee benefit usage statistics for medical assistance, cash assistance, and public housing. In fiscal year 2013, there were about 353,000 refugees on SNAP. As of December 2014, 55,000 refugees, asylees, and other similar populations receiving payments from SSI, the memo reveals. CRS provided a table looking at welfare use among all refugees who had arrived within the past 5 years. In 2013, 56% were receiving Medicaid or refugee medical assistance, 47.1% were on any type of cash assistance, and 74.2% were on food stamps, and 22.8% were in public housing. Now, what are we doing? I mean, a bunch of these refugees that we're talking about that we're bringing over here.
Why are our state governments crying out about this? They're the ones footing the bill.
Well, no, for the most part, it's the federal government. Well,
yeah, but our state's taking a lot of money out of our pocket and putting it there, too.
Sure, but good point, but my point is a huge percentage of these, quote, refugees are the very blacks from South Africa that have been over there raping, home invading, and murdering whites out of pure racial hatred, and they come over here and sit down on their ass in public housing and eat and get educated to the extent that a low IQ...
They were getting that over there.
Well, yeah. No, they're not getting that over there because their government is
bankrupt.
Is run by their moronic counterparts, and nothing works. They can't even get power to the houses, as we discussed earlier.
Or you know, New York City.
Yeah, I suppose. But you can't blame New York City on being run poorly by blacks. It's run by Jews.
No.
Well, anyway. But we're...
not a lot of crosses in New York City, I take it.
No. But the thing is, why are we importing the very people who are causing the trouble over there and then paying for them to sit around and be as shiftless and destructive to our society as they were to theirs, when we could be deporting the real at-risk population that truly would be refugees?
Jewish bankers.
You're saying that's the answer?
That's the answer to the problem.
Yeah. Well, why did the Jewish bankers want the Boer gone?
Why did they let them immigrate over here?
Why don't we let the Jewish bankers immigrate
over
here? Oh, well, it was a bad, bad mistake. I wrote an article about
George
that over
Washington
on...
and Jefferson were against it.
And Franklin. At the Constitutional Convention, both Washington and Franklin vehemently urged the other members to vote to put into that Constitution that Jews would never be allowed to live here and be citizens.
Well, I know we got spots here in Texas that would fit perfectly for the black South Africans that want to escape over there and be at home.
Oh, sure.
Edwards County.
Yeah?
Nothing but a desert.
Well...
And that's what the World Bank has done to South Africa.
Well, you know, South
Africa...
They
turned their breadbasket into desert.
Yeah, well, you know, South Africa is really a big country. It's twice the size of Texas.
Oh, you know better than that.
Huh?
You know better than that.
Well, I'm just telling you what South Africans tell me about
they lie.
The...
They lie.
Well, anyway,
it's like they're from Alaska or something.
But it's a big country, and topographically and all, it's very diverse.
Beautiful country too.
Yeah. Oh, you should see the some of the pictures of Cape Town. You know, it's a beautiful area, but it's doubly sad that something so ugly is going on in a place that is so naturally beautiful.
Why in a city like Dallas or Fort Worth or Austin, Tyler, open up its doors to everybody in South Africa that's escaping the apartheid, the real apartheid that's going on there right now?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Well, I said the same thing.
Well, I mean, I wish
I just didn't keep them out of New Jersey.
I wish they'd...
I don't want them to get polluted.
I wish they'd come to Coffee City.
I don't want them to get polluted in New Jersey.
No, you don't want them to get... They'll get polluted
in Massachusetts.
They'll get polluted all kinds of ways. They'll get polluted both physically and mentally and spiritually if they go up there to Yankee Land. Well, that's bringing us up on our next break. We'll see you right around the corner.
Truth seekers and freedom-loving Texans, HiddenMysteries.com is the place to find those hard-to-locate books for your research. HiddenMysteries.com has the largest and most diverse knowledge-based selection on the Internet today. Be sure and visit HiddenMysteries.org for over 12,000 free articles for truth seekers. Visit HiddenMysteries.com today or call 903-876-3256 for a free catalog.
You're listening to HMR, Hidden Mysteries Radio, HiddenMysteriesRadio.com.
The liberty of Texas is under assault. The American Constitution has been shredded. The 10th Amendment has been forgotten. The meaning of freedom has been perverted. Washington's values and the values of Texans are opposites. Texans are victims of tyranny not seen since Santa Anna, Obamacare, oppressive taxation, porous borders, more socialism, and firearm restrictions. Sam Houston said, Texas will again lift his head and stand among the nations. It's time for Texas to be free. Texas independence now. The Texas Nationalist Movement.
We're back. This is from mysanantonio.com. Controversial Jefferson Davis statue at the University of Texas vandalized. A statue of Confederate President Jefferson Davis on the University of Texas campus that student leaders voted last month was vandalized overnight. A photo tweeted by Jordan Rudner, managing editor of the Daily Texan, UT's student-run newspaper, shows the words, "Davis must fall," spray-painted in red across a concrete portion of the controversial statue. Now, this is direct mimicry of what happened to the Statue of Rhodes in South Africa about a year ago. "Rhodes must fall" was spray painted on that statue. And now, over the last few weeks, you can see video after video, news story after news story of the blacks basically, I don't, it's worse than rioting what they're doing. And they're pulling down all the old European-style statues. They started with the statue of Cecil Rhodes. They pulled down statues memorializing the Boer farmers who fought off the British. And they tore down a statue that was dedicated to the horses that were killed during the war and that kind of thing. Anything to do with anything European or that doesn't fit.
They went too far when they went with the horses.
Yeah, that doesn't fit with the current cultural Marxist narrative that everything European or that doesn't fit into their one world order is bad. And that's what's going, we can see it, that like I said in my article, the seeds are sprouting here. The student council of University of Texas at Austin has voted to remove the statue of Jefferson, and the university is considering it. And we have a right to our history and our heritage. We built this place, and it's starting to happen here. If you look around all over the South, like at the University of Washington and Lee, they just removed the portraits and statues of Lee.
Well, the Republicans have removed Thomas Jefferson from the Texas history books.
Yeah,
the Republicans that did that.
Yeah, he's absolutely talking. Well, now the people that I saw protesting about that were Republicans as well.
Well,
to be honest,
it was Republicans
with you.
That did it to him.
Yeah, and they
so
removed,
they lied to you if they think
right. Well, they removed all kinds of stuff. They removed just about every reference to the United States Constitution that has stuff in it that they don't want taught. They've removed the idea from schools long ago that the United States and each individual state is a republic. They have taught us that it's a democracy. And the reason that they want us to believe that it's a democracy is the same reason that the same people who want us to believe that it's a democracy wanted all those blacks from all over sub-Saharan Africa who had poured into South Africa in franchises, because the more morons that you can give the vote to, then
democracy is mob rule.
Absolutely. Democracy is, if there's 100 people and 51 of them vote to kill you, rape your wife, and take all your property, that's what's happening.
Well, also, let me remind people that it's Pledge of Allegiance is not to the republic for which we stand. It's to the republics for which we stand.
That's what it originally was.
Because the United States is not a nation. The United States is a United Nations of States.
But can you see the point I'm making here when I point out that the very same political theater that goes on in South Africa before some type of a physical real life event is occurring here.
Republicans are shaking in their boots. They're really afraid that the South is going to rise again. And well, I think that's the same thing, basically the same scenario in Africa. They're afraid that South African battle is going to rear its ugly head again.
Well, no matter,
it's going to.
No matter which party it is, they're doing everything they can to give away our sovereignty, which is a big...
Well, now you're back to the World Bank and the IMF.
Yeah.
And they want to steal your sovereignty.
Right, but the Republicans and Democrats that run our government are doing everything they can to hand it over to them. And
hand it over to them? I think they're selling it to them for cheap.
Right, but they have to work around us because they want to be reelected. And so, you know, that's what I mean by they're doing everything they can. If they just give them the key.
They bought Dibo. What else do they need?
Well, I don't. Everything.
They don't need our vote. They just need to add votes to the Dibo machine.
Well, that's true. But we are straying from the topic, which is South Africa. And, you know, this being.
Same problems they're facing there, too.
Well, think about this. And I want everybody who, like me, doesn't live in South Africa and has never lived there to kind of help you have an understanding of what it's like to be a white South African. Let's examine a couple of things here. As I said earlier, the whites in South Africa only account for 9% of the population now. And if you look at the places they live, they have to live behind gates with barbed wire, and I've seen pictures of them. They look just like the outside of a prison. And if you look at the racial makeup of it, it's just like an American maximum security prison. And not only that, they all have to have what they call rape gates. Now, these rape gates are these huge, they look like the gate, as they're probably made by the same companies. They look like the gate, you know, when you go to the bank during business hours and the vault is open, but they have a big heavy gate pulled across it that they have to use a key to get in and out of. It's that kind of a gate that goes across their bedroom door so that when the blacks break the front door and come in, they can't get to them in their bedroom before they wake up. And this is the kind of thing that they're living in. It's exactly like they're in. If you're white and you're in South Africa, your entire life is like being a white person in an American
It sounds like
prison.
A Jewish person describing life under Hitler.
Except that most of that's lies.
Well, I'm not talking about the scenario, but yet they're backing and supporting what's going on in South Africa.
Absolutely. Anywhere you look where the Jews have power as a group, they're
worldwide.
Huh?
That's worldwide with the bikers.
Well, not China yet.
They got the bikers there too.
Yeah, I think they've met their match with the Chinese, but that's another show. But as a matter of fact, the new challenge to their power in South Africa is the Chinese. But anyway, anywhere you look that the Jews either pull the strings behind the puppets that have the power or actually are the power, as in Israel, they practice the exact same things or worse than they claim happened in National Socialist Germany. And there's no denying that. The apartheid, the place where there's real apartheid that is violent and evil and brought on by a ruling elite of the favored racial group is Israel. Not only did they get England and the United States, England mostly, to steal the whole place for them, to this day they are still running Palestinians off their property, holding them in pens, sterilizing African immigrants. It's just on and on that I can go with it. And they cause these things to happen, these pogroms and genocides everywhere they
That's
go.
That's democracy in action.
Absolutely it is.
That is democracy in action.
Absolutely. And
or
you know,
communism.
I mean, look at what's going on in the Ukraine right now. That is 100% Jew run.
It was actually a Jewish reporter that exposed it.
Yeah, yeah. But it's 100% Jew run, this supposed Nazi group that runs Ukraine now. Their squadrons are led by Mossad and IMF officers, and their big front man is a rabbi from Tel Aviv.
And their old government refused to bow down and borrow money from the IMF. That's
well,
part of this whole scenario.
Right. So,
which means Rothschild didn't get his money, which means he turns on Tel Aviv against them.
So if I may be perfectly blunt here.
Aren't you always?
Well, yeah. What's going on in South Africa, they're not the only ones, but the people directing it, the people who started it, and the people who are still behind it, is international Jewry, period. And they're pulling the same shit everywhere in the Western world, and it has succeeded in varying degrees everywhere they're doing it so far.
Well, they did the same thing to the destabilization of Egypt. They just didn't use the race card.
Right, right.
They used the religion card.
Right. And they're doing the same. That's one of the ways that they're destabilizing Europe, is the Jewish groups that encourage all of the Muslim immigration. You know, it's amazing how those groups are still.
They don't understand. They're cementing their own demise, because those Muslim groups are going to rise up against Jewry before they rise up against Christianity.
Well, you know, the thing I understand, and Ben Franklin predicted this at that Constitutional Convention. He said that if the Jews were ever to regain a homeland, that the vast majority of them would not return, because vampires don't feed on vampires. And he was absolutely right in that. In 1948, they
met Mayor Rothschild.
Huh?
He must have met Mayor Rothschild.
Well, or foreseen him. Franklin was quite the visionary. But what we see going on bears all that out. And, you know, in 1948, the West provided the Jews with precisely the homeland that they were demanding, Israel. Well, there are more Jews in New York City than in all of Israel. Why are they not going home?
Send them home.
Absolutely. Why are they not going home? Why are they still here when
Colbert can broadcast from Tel Aviv?
When the place that they claim that God gave them is over there. And I'll tell you why. They're here because their job is to own our media, own our banking, own our government, so that they can ruin our country to do their dirty work for them and to pay for them.
We're talking about current history here, but we're talking about past history in Johannesburg.
They're the biggest welfare queens.
They've done it down there.
Israel and world Jewry are the biggest freaking welfare queens that have ever existed on the face of the earth. They're worse than 10 billion crackhead mothers popping out a baby every 8 months to make their welfare check bigger. There is nothing more pernicious on this earth than the influence of world Jewry, and South Africa is the perfect example. National Socialist Germany is another really good example, and we're going to see all that here. We're already seeing it, but we're going to see every bit of that here if white people, people of European descent, however you want to say it, if we don't regain our ethnic and racial consciousness, regain our morals, regain our courage, and stand up to this.
Well, you got to remember, you can't just lay the blame for everything at the feet of the Jew, because these Christian traitors have done the same thing with the populace over here.
Well, yeah.
Because the Christians have just bent over upside down backwards to make sure that orifice is wide open.
Name a major American denomination, Protestant or otherwise, that hasn't been completely corrupted and infiltrated by Jews.
Well, when the Catholic Church fell, that was the last one.
That was it. That's right.
The Southern Baptists held out for a long time, but they even came before the Catholic
Church. The reason the Southern Baptists held out for so long is that the only thing that the Southern Baptists had in common under the Southern Baptist Convention was that each church ran itself. They were independent. It was the ultimate expression of Protestantism. They had a set doctrine of some very strong principles, like that you can't go to heaven if you get sprinkled, you have to be dunked, and that sort of thing.
Crap.
But, well, and they had other things, you know, that were set doctrines that this made you a Southern Baptist. But each church ran itself. And as I may have said before on the show, I think I said so in the episode titled The International Jew, I was raised in the Southern Baptist Church. I mean, I was one of the kids that when I was an infant, I was in the nursery. And you never heard a word throughout the 70s when I was young growing up there, you never heard a word about Jews, how great they are, Israel, how great it is. And it was sometime around 79 or 80, the very first time I heard a peep about it was when Jews for Jesus showed up at our church, passing around the plate and just getting huge stacks of cash sent up front. And nobody asked them, but they kind of let on because the name's Jews for Jesus. You figure, oh, these are just ethnically Jewish people who are Christians and all that. Most of the people in the church thought that when it was over. Then I read their pamphlet. No, they're religious Jews. They're over here laughing at us, taking our shekels and using it to subjugate.
I remember seeing Israel bomb the church of Bethlehem. Just because they gave refuge to people hiding out from their
the place where Christ was allegedly born.
Right.
Yeah. So it built around the manger.
They have no reverence for anything Christian. Why give them any reverence for anything at all of their religion?
So I guess they thought that the lyrics to that Christmas song were Away with the Manger.
They must have thought about that. They'd like to do away with it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You cannot proselytize. You cannot mention the word Jesus on the streets over there. You go to jail.
Absolutely. And there's plenty of video on that. If you want to know what I'm talking about and what goes.
They don't get mean, just ask Rachel Corey.
Oh, absolutely. Go on YouTube and do a YouTube search do a YouTube search for the following term.
Rachel Corey.
No. That's one you can do. But we're probably going to do a whole show on her pretty soon. But the search that I want you to go on there and do, and watch two or three videos, how Jews treat Christians in Israel. Just do that.
It will shock you if you're one of those John Hagee worshipers.
Oh, yeah, yeah. All that money you've been sending to them, just wait until you see the guys with their little tassels.
Reminds me of that verse, I think it's in Ezekiel, Jeremiah, where our leaders have muddied the water before we came to drink.
Yeah.
That's what these preachers have done for you now. They are dirtying the waters and then serving it up for you to drink.
Yeah. And the worst part of it is, one of my very good friends on Twitter that's a South African, she constantly has to try to... They have their own version of the conservatard Zio-Christians over there. And those people are a huge impediment to white solidarity, which those people are going to have to absolutely have to survive.
Where are the voices of the so-called Christian church of the silent majority, the silent morality, or whatever they want to call themselves?
Moral majority, yeah.
For the Christian white South African that's been destroyed.
And they are Christians.
One flag has been raised by a Christian church in their defense.
They are Christians. And
they have not been. You think the Episcopalians be the first ones with the flag up for them?
But they're not, are they? You'd think these fiery Southern Baptists from the South would be saying, "Hey, let's save those white people."
You think so?
I'm one who says it, and that makes
you're
me
a Southern Baptist, are you?
Huh?
You're not a Southern Baptist, are you?
I was born one. I was baptized one.
Well, that doesn't make you one.
Well, I don't agree with anything they say now. That's for sure. As I have said on to people many times, if I wanted to go to church, there's not one I can go to because I'm not going to sit and listen to the goddamn Zionist propaganda.
Well, I'm not going to listen to somebody that's uneducated and a retard tell me what the Bible says, and he hasn't done any more study on it than I have done.
Right. Well, let's get right down to brass tacks of South Africa. You know, Ghost, what do you think needs to be done?
Well, I think we gave them the solution. Texas can use their elite genius over here, and we probably can make a place for them within the job structure we have. It might displace a few of these illegals, but that's just too bad.
Yeah, well, and not only that, I would go a step further than that. I think we should offer those people whatever assistance they need that they could pack up all their stuff and bring their whole families. If they can't afford to bring them themselves, we should pay for it.
Being a good Republican conservative, you know, We just can't afford something like that.
Yeah, well,
we gotta have to take money away from Israel.
Yeah, well,
we can't afford taking money away from Israel.
I'm not a good Republican conservative. I'm a right wing nationalist.
Well, I thought Ted Cruz was all for the Jew boys.
Oh, Ted Cruz 100% for the Jew boys.
So what is his problem
with what
being a Cuban and a Canadian and a having a third citizenship key to Israel.
Well, none of that matters because he's a Murano. You know what a Murano is?
Run for president?
You know what a Murano is?
No, go ahead.
Murano's a Cuban crypto Jew, and that's what Cruz is. That's all that matters.
I thought what I had identified for him.
What?
That wasn't the word I have for it. Well, his mother wouldn't like the word I gave it.
Yeah, I hear you.
I call it a malformed miscarriage.
What gets me is he is the
better. That was a constipation delivery.
Yeah,
gone bad.
Oh yeah, that was a live rectal birth. But is he not the greasiest, smarmiest looking son of a bitch you ever saw?
He's right up there with Jimmy Swaggart.
He reminds me more of that preacher. I mean, seriously, I'm not making a joke here. When I look at Ted Cruz and his slick back hair and his perverted looking face and everything, it reminds me of that preacher out of Colorado that got caught snorting meth off of the male prostitute's
Ted
cock.
Haggard.
Haggard, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
they don't physically look alike, but they have that same expression. Like, you know, where's the meth and the diseased
the
cock?
The, head?
The meth and the diseased cock. But, you know, these things often happen. But that if you don't have some kind of pretty bad skeleton in your closet, you're not going to make it anywhere in politics anymore because you have to be controllable. And, you know, you've got all these people like Lindsey Graham who are running as conservative Christian Republicans and all, who are obviously homosexuals. But if it were let out that they were homosexuals or child molesters or whatever they are,
Lindsey Graham, and I'm running for president.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And guess what Graham said last week? Lindsey Graham said that when he's elected president, he's going to have an all Jewish cabinet.
Well, that's an American tone, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's a real patriot, son of a bitch.
Yeah. Well, you never hear Ted Cruz say America first ever, 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 but he has said that he would. He has said, what do you think about an American who will protect Israel first, a president?
I just want one to protect Americans first.
Yeah, and the first way.
Hell with Israel.
The first way that you protect Americans.
Hell with all of them. Just protect Americans.
If we're going to protect Americans, the first thing we have to do is arrest the media and the government back from the bankers and the Jews.
Oh, I thought you were going to say arrest.
And round them up and send them to Israel.
Arrest. Arrest.
Put them in some nice place to keep them until we can get them over there.
You know, but this is the problem. There is no solution for South Africans at the moment because
except to get them out of there.
Is too far gone.
Yeah,
there is no solution for them there.
None.
Nothing but misery ahead.
And here's the sad part of it: when all the whites are gone,
they can have it.
The blacks are going to starve.
They can have. Well. We're always there with a helping hand, you know.
Yeah, I think when they commit the final genocide over there, it's going to change the mind of a few of these ignorant fucking missionaries that are always going over there.
And they'll stop giving money to Israel?
Nah, I doubt that. But just remember, the more we feed, the more they breed. The more they breed, the more they need.
That's why Israel's got such a strong hand.
Yeah, that's why
they don't have to work. They just wait for their check to come from the United States government every week.
Oh, absolutely. Well, not only the check, the sweetheart deals, and we fight all their wars for them. And
well, even find their wives for them.
Well, they do kidnap our women, our underage women, and force them into prostitution in Israel.
You talk about 3-year-olds, 4-year-olds.
Yeah.
They also have a real... I don't know what you call it, an addiction to our body parts for their people.
Yeah.
Lungs and liver.
They've even been caught doing that in North America, haven't they?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, like killing people. Like they'll have detectives that'll find somebody with the right blood type
and
all
that.
Don't
think these hospitals took out the wrong part by accident. Some Jewish doctor got it on the flight to Israel.
Well, but they've actually kidnapped people and killed them and taken their organs.
Oh, yes. We call them rendition.
Yeah.
Oh, Bush's secret's out.
So, oh, well, they tortured me for about a month wanting to know what I knew about some terrorism bullshit. When they finally figured out I didn't know anything about the terrorism bullshit, they let me out. And I'm missing a kidney. What the fuck?
That's rendition.
Yep.
Well, we done fixed them Jews' pockets good.
Well, you know.
Where do you think Cheney gets all that body parts from?
Yeah. For a couple of Texans that admittedly are not experts on the field of South Africa, I think we've covered it about as well as we can. So, in closing, I think, you know, it's my last thing to say is, you know, if you're listening to us, and I know it may not do any good, but it's the least you can do, because it's so easy to write your congressmen and your senators now. Get online, email your congressmen, and email your senators, and tell them that you insist that we allow refugee status for all Afrikaners, for all white South Africans, and we want an end to refugee status for black South Africans.
And if you want a good background of what is going on over there, and it was predicted in 2002 by this author, John Loperat, get this book called Government by Deception, Psychopolitics in Southern Africa.
Yep, we'll post that.
And it explains how he lived in Zimbabwe and saw everything that happened there. And the same thing now where he lives is in South Africa, and everything is repeating itself again. It's going to go into total chaos and into a total black state that has nothing but poverty looking for its future.
And, you know, if he came here and lived here for a while, I believe he could write another really good book about how it's happening here with the Latino and African immigration and the immigration from the Middle East.
He's brilliant when it comes to this stuff. He really is.
Well,
and if you're really into some long theories, search out his book called Hollow Planets.
Yeah, yeah.
His book on Hollow Planets is unbelievable. Even scientists are buying his book.
Well, go ahead and post that one in the article just for the hell of it, in case anybody wants it. But, you know, I think we've covered this thing pretty well. And don't forget, write those congressmen. And I'll tell you what else. Tomorrow, I will go to the president's poll site where you put a poll question that says do this or do that, and if it gets so many votes, the president has to actually address the issue. And I'm going to put one on there that says bring all the Afrikaners, give all the Afrikaners refugee status.
No, he lied. He didn't ever answer the one about Texas.
Yeah, that's true.
He never did answer the one about Texas.
No, and he has lied, but it's still, I'm going to post that there. I'll post the link under this article the day that I do it, and also I'll tweet it out a lot. Log in and upvote that. Put your voice out there. I know there are millions of you out there who are just like me.
You may only get your chance one time in this entire life to speak out for somebody that's not yourself, and this may be the one worthwhile chance you get.
Yep.
Speak out for the white Afrikaner, South African, meaning a refugee status into Texas only.
These are your people, whether you think of them that way or not. These are, if you're a white person, these are your people. They would stand up for you, I truly believe it, if the situation were reversed. Stand up for them. It doesn't take, it's not, nobody's asking you to pick up a gun and go to South Africa. Vote on a poll and write your congressman. Well, Ghost, I think it's been a pretty good show. What do you think?
It's been a pretty good show. Well, I don't think writing the congressman does any good, but write them anyway.
Well, I'm not certain whether it does any good either, but you get enough, and you never know.
I mean, you also need to send one to every, write your letter to the media also.
Yep.
We have a better chance of getting Jewish-owned media that doesn't know what's going on to go ahead and publish it.
Well, in closing, I want to let all of our listeners in South Africa know that we care about you a whole lot. Personally, I think about the situation over there a lot. And I will support any solution that will provide comfort and safety to Afrikaners. Stay strong. For Ghost, I'm Asmodor. We'll see you next week. This is Hidden Mysteries Radio, discussing the topics no one else dares to.